Session number 12247, Mr. J. Weddle, Reel 6.
Mr. J. Weddle, Reel 6. After all of the action of the day, Mr. Weddle, did you yourself or did you see any signs of stress and shock?
No, there was no panic or anything. When they just the wounded lads screaming and shouting, and there was no medics at that particular time. But there was no panic as such. Just the Germans jumped out of tanks. Because they've never seen any infantrymen, it was all tank men. And the weapons they had, submachine guns, and they just rounded up and had to leave the wounded. And they took everything off them. But there was no panic, so it's just when they did get rounded up and surrounded, we and took everything off, we just stood in my battle dress, and some had the helmets on. I threw mine off. It was a very hot day then, you know, the 20th of May, very hot. And I remember the Sergeant Major, he was an old territorial from the First World War, the latter end anyway.
What was his name?
Bertie Baggs, Long Gator. I knew him before I went to the territorials, and he was an old timer, old ninth man, machine gunner. And he says, "Well, this is it, lads." I think he was harking back in 1940, you know. But I think he was as surprised as this one there. There was no shooting anything left. And then the tanks came towards us, and we're told to put some of the wounded, badly wounded, onto the top of the tanks. And our Lance Corporal had a smack on the head, and he went a bit delirious. So I was told to get him on the tank, and two or three we got them on, and I was told to stop on the tank, seeing I was one of the youngest ones, and hold them on the tank, and there were about four wounded on the tank, and I held the Lance Corporal on, and he doesn't remember to this day, and I put him on the tank. And so he took it around the field and out of there, past the cops, and where we couldn't see, it's where the DLI lads had came through that were wounded, and when went over there, he was right, all hell had been let loose then there. I've seen sights there that I've never seen before, and I seen, it was a bit sickening then, like, but I think you're more concerned about what was happening with the wounded lads, because there's no medics, you know. But when we got to the field, there was medics there, Germans and British soldiers, so they were getting looked after, but we were told to move. The group just let we lie in the field and sit on the field and look for your mates. And I was looking for my cousin and my mate Eddie Nicholson. And I did see them later on, but when we seen all the German equipment, guards.
There was no,
but there was no panic as such.
Was there any physical? Was there any pushing you around or?
No, I never. Not in a particular time. I didn't. Some of you have had it, but they just. Just pointing you, and that's you, taking rifles or submachine guns towards you, and that's you just moved you. You were at Nazi bit days, you know, but there was no panic.
None of them spoke English to you?
Oh, yes. Oh, I was surprised nobody did speak English. They all had cameras and taking photographs of some of them. But
did they make any comments to you that the war was over at all?
Oh, aye, naturally, the war's over for you, sort of thing. What's the word, Eber Alice, then, you know what I mean? And then ruled the world then. Don't stop the Britain. But some of the lads, the majority of lads, there must be more than us sitting and fighting, that sort of thing. They didn't, a bit downhearted, but there was no panic as such. We were just getting hungry then. We'd had nothing to eat for our breakfast. Had nothing to drink, But I got a bottle of wine. One of the lads had a bottle of wine and passed it round. Didn't keep it to yourself. You just passed it round to the lads, which was a good sign. No, no one else keeping it for themselves at that particular time. But it's panic now. But I was pleased when I seen not to see he was a prisoner of war, but him and Daddy weren't wounded or anything like that. They looked a bit shocked, so I must have been a little bit shocked at them, you know.
Was there any signs of anyone panicking or being...
Never seen them, no. Never seen any panic, no. It was just the wounded, even the sergeant. Didn't panic. He asked for me and another young lad to take his boot off. And
just the one that lost his foot?
Yeah, and there was no way, because when the older men come to my Jimmy, he asked to take his boot off. He looked, he says, oh, we'll take it up with you, Sergeant. But then the Germans came.
There was no...
Well, we tried to put a tourniquet on, which could have helped to kill him, because we put the old-fashioned one on. Now it's a different technique, you know. No, none of us were trained, unless they were ambulance men, but none of us were trained for first aid, which was a bad thing.
But the caller, Sergeant?
Yeah, I forget. Yeah, I think it was Sergeant Ford, I believe. I hadn't been long with him that long to remember the names, actually.
But he'd lost his leg and he had no boot to...
His boot was only hanging on by his the cords. With no flesh, just the, about two or three cords, sinews, keeping his ankle and his shoe on. And he wasn't panicking. No, he may have come in later on, but we tried to stop the blood running. But we haven't got a tourniquet on. We'll not see what to leave him. Or order to by the German. Said he would be seen, though. But what happened to him, I've never seen him since, so I don't know. That's the fault of me losing my book. Mm-hmm. I had all the names in.
What did happen next?
Well, it was after a while. It was getting on towards evening then. And so the two were all lined up, and the march up the road. And we came to this church. It was about half an hour's walk, and naturally the lads were four or five deep and just not marching, actually marching. We're just, I think they're looking for something to eat and thirsty. We're really thirsty. We're left for water bottles and everything, you know.
We're still worried about what might happen to
you? Oh, I naturally was saying, well, I don't know what's going to happen, you know. But up to now, they hadn't. But when I went into the church, it was frightening.
What way was that?
They put me into the big main. It was like a Catholic church, which I didn't know nothing about at that time. I'd never been in the Catholic church. And we'd all just pushed it in, and we very little room to lie in, so we just find little nicks to stand in. But within a few minutes, they had machine guns right round the alcoves of the church, and all pointing down towards us, you know. And the lads were all getting a bit edgy then, like, said, no. What's going to happen here? You know, and nothing did happen. But they only let me out to the toilet two at a time, which was nigh impossible for them. And it was getting like an oven inside. And there was no lights, just the lights through the church windows. Mostly wanted a drink. But there's no shouting or anything. Just the lads saying, what's going to happen here? What we're going to do, you know?
Did you still have some wounded with you then?
Not severely wounded. I mean, I had a bone on my arm, but I mean, just things like that. I think most of the lads who were bleeding heavy were kept outside. I had been kept to one side, don't I?
Did you still have officers mixed with you?
Oh, yes, up to that time, yes. Yes, there was officers there. Aye. But they tend to keep themselves to themselves, you know, which is not so. Same as us, we kept to our own little cliques, which human nature. And but then they tried to settle down, but nobody could settle down. It was thirsty, you see, and me and Rob had noticed there were our lads hanging on the front. I says, well, I'll walk over, push through and see what's there. And one or two had organised themselves, and they found the front was full. So there was a little chalice cup there. So they were giving one lad, come forward and orderly queue, and get one drink of water at a man, which I thought it was only a drink, but it was you could have drunk it all ourselves, that little click. But then some of the lads organised and most of the lads in the church got a drink. I think one or two had bottles of wine on them. had picked up, and one or two may have had a water bottle. It depends where they were taken, who took them, you know. But we had no though. I think Eddie had his hard chocolate. He managed to put his hard chocolate in his breast pocket. I'd left mine in my pack, but he put in his breast pocket. So we're lucky there. He shared his chocolate with amongst the three of us, which was we kept it going in the morning time, you know. But that's all the water we had that night. We didn't get much sleep. We just sat down, cooling each other back to back and side to side to keep it a little bit comfort, you know. It's only the easiest way to lie or sit down.
Were you able to sleep at all?
No, I think we just dozed off because blokes were getting cramped. Some were moaning. They might have had like little injuries that were woken them up. And then we went to go to the toilet. We're feeling a bit discomfort. As I was some trying to get to the door, which then depend upon the German guard, you see. And every time we looked, there was a machine gun facing down on you, you know. That's, but there's panic. No, there wasn't any panic. I felt that was a squeezy feeling, but I was worried about what was happening to him. You know, a little bit. Naturally, I was going, I don't know what's happening there.
Especially you were thinking in terms of what your mother and parents might be thinking when they got word you were missing.
I don't know what they're saying. And well, we must have some troops fighting somewhere, sort of thing, you know. I mean, we seen nothing. We had no tanks. We'd never seen a British tank or nothing like that, you know. But when I seen everything there, the Germans had, when I seen the other wounded, that was a sickening part of me. When it must have been Durham there, I think, because that's where them three Durham lads had come from. And I seen sights there.
What was this, dead and wounded?
Dead, most of them were like tree trunks. They must have just been caught in the blast of the tank, you know. They were just black, like, I think, in fact, we thought two or three trunks, just black. Nothing you couldn't see, they were just, they weren't even a shape of a man, they were just black, you know. And I'd seen people die when I was a kid in hospital and then amongst our own families, you know, but never know like that. So that was the sickening part.
Was there any feeling amongst you that you might be rescued?
Well, I never give up hope. No, I never give up hope because, you know, but we've got to have better things than what we had, my Robbie, and that sort of thing, you know. Didn't know where, but I never ever give up hope. The Germans beat me.
Was there any feelings of anger, say, towards the higher-ups or officers who left you in that situation?
Oh, aye. I mean, well, I had a clip about that. It's obvious. I mean, why we were on the field in the first place, you know. I mean, well, I had figs being it. We couldn't see nothing where to go. Just got across the field, I think. And just been misled. Well, I mean, the officers had no information. There's none coming through. So you seen a dispatch rider all the time I was there.
So were you blaming higher up than your own officers?
Oh, I must have been. Officers were just in the dark as much as what, unless they kept it to themselves. Or we were told five tanks had broken through. It's all information we received. And then we were just going to Arras, towards Arras. There's no mention of Channel Port or anything. No, that was our... that's when we lost the other platoon, went away from Frivant.
What happened in the morning then?
Well, it's a bit vague what happened in the morning. No, it's that long ago, but we've got nothing to eat. And I think we managed to get a drink of water and then they start marching. We in columns counting the rope, and so we're about five deep and trekked along the road. Well, seeing, I wonder where we're going.
Had any inclination in which direction you were going?
Well, we must have went towards Boulogne in the Channel Ports, actually, because we finished up there. I think we had one night in the open field again. I think we got some bits of brown bread, rye bread. They've cut the loaves of bread up and dished it out, you know, and... But I can't remember getting any hot drinks off them or anything. And we're getting, there was French people along the side of the road giving biscuits and that out. Mostly were the French lads, you know, because they were in front of us. There wasn't quite a few, a lot of Frenchmen that particular time. But they're gradually coming in, you know, and they had everything with them. Food, blankets, packs. Mostly just packed in with everything they had.
They had all that equipment with them?
Nearly all equipment, bar rifles, packs on his skin packs with that. Blankets and in a great coat or a cape wrapped round the suitcases, so on.
Was there any attempts to escape on your march? Did you, sir?
I believe one officer escaped, but we met him when our officer got away off the field, I think. Because we had to give an order then, every man for himself, you know. But I don't think he was in our company. I think he was in C company or one of them that had a better chance than us in the village. Which they took a. They did put up a fight, you know. And I never seen any of the lads escaping. I think they were like me. Where could we go now? We didn't even know. Just point, well, that's towards others, but where, to know what was in front of them, when we seen all the equipment that was around us, how could you get through? And nobody was helping you. You couldn't rely on the French at that particular time, which you didn't blame them. They're all, if they were caught with you, they would get shot and all, so it didn't matter who they were.
Keeping you walking, did you get the opportunity for rests?
Every so often, for about quarter of an hour, 10 minutes, and you were trying to scrounge something as you were marching. Well, it was a trek, really. And, some lads picked up turnips and things like that, you know, but it was at springtime. Stuff was just starting to grow. There was nothing. If it'd been now, we'd been having plenty of meat in the fields, you know, but there was nothing there. But it was there. I think it was towards Belong they were going at first. Belong and Aberfield and them places. You know, I think they were rounding prisoners up as they were going forward after they took the lads in from your region. You know.
So you're following the route the Germans had already taken?
Yes, aye. Mm-hmm. And so that was that. We found at the end of the day, I think we got a bowl of soup. Because the Germans had a better idea than us. I'd tell you a good idea. They were pulled by horses, boilers, on two wheels, and a fire. And a little carriage on the back to put the wood and bits of coal on. They were taking the timber as they were going. So the hot soup was in that big, like a big old-fashioned ice cream cart, you know, pulled by a couple of horses.
You got some of that, did you?
Oh, yes, we got left at the end of the day. But the French were getting most of the soups that was left at the end of the day. And later on, it got organised. They had soups ready for the end of the day. But the French got first preference because they were in the front of the column. We got what was left, and 9 times out of 10, we got nothing. In fact, Robert and Eddie and me, we stopped queuing at the finish. Before that was a couple of weeks later, we stopped queuing, just started fending ourselves.
You'd be passing through villages and townships. Were the French civilians there in any way angry or disappointed towards you?
Well, they didn't have nothing to do with it. I never got anything off them. Got no food off them. Well, they kept them for themselves, I suppose. But a lot of the villages were empty. The cottages and that, they just left their food and everything in. Well, as we were going, we're just like locusts. When we learnt the rules of the game, to live, we used to go, the lads would go in one house, straight through the cottage in the front, round, just pick up anything, without stopping, anything they could eat or use for making fires, boiling stuff in, cans, cups, because most had nothing, no knives or nothing, a spoon or a fork you could use, or to make it into a knife if you ground the handle down, sort of thing. But you had to watch, you got searched every so often at the end of the day, you know. You were allowed to make a fire. Not the first few days, but later on you were, before nights set in, boil some water, because you couldn't drink French water. In fact, the Germans were kicking the water off. Over, the French people had put down pails of water, you know, kicking them over. Some of the lads were calling the Germans till I think it was a London lad, was next to me. He says, you know, these lads are calling the Germans. He says, the Germans are doing you a good turn doing that. He says, it's only last week and now you'll be put on a charge for drinking French water without being treated. And then the lads says, aye, I never thought of that. So we got the water, but we used to try and kite it. And well, the first 2 days we used Eddie's helmet. Took the inside, you know, and put the screw back, and we used that as a pan and a carrier. We pinched a couple of pans, you know, and a jug, a little French ones. Well, it was either that or not exist at all. And when you're willing to live, you've got to do these things, you know. Not we wanted to, but we're learned to live.
Nighttime, where did they herd you together for the night?
Sometimes in barns. When we got to Blong, after a while, it was a long, long journey. Well, it seemed long. And they put an engineering factory. And all the lace had been taken out. We got nothing to eat there either. We killed where we tore was, but after the trek, it was getting dusk, and they weren't allowed to make a fire. Just went inside the factory. And we got a drink of water off a tap. We had to drink something, you know. So we just started looking for somewhere to sleep, and that was on the lathe beds where they had taken the lathes off with the nuts and bolts, so you know. Well, it was better than out anyway. You had to sleep there just on the, well, it was like a concrete bed, you know, just my battle dressing. I didn't have a top coat or nothing. That's all we had, I think, it was just my battle dress. But we seen three Frenchmen while they're kit like, and they were eating, bread and butter, and having a nice meal, you know. And we says, well, we're going to sit beside them, they might share what they've had. Which we might have done if we'd been the same, I'm not saying we would, but we may have done the same predicament. But no, never even looked at three of us. Robert asked them for some cigarettes up there, and that's what, no, we didn't want to know. So I said, to hell with this, we'll just, Robert says, we'll lie down beside him when he got to sleep. He says, I'll lie beside the Frenchman. Yeah, it's now he's done with the Frenchman, you see. So we used to lie together to keep warm. And we used to take our turn, we're all learning, we used to take our turn lying in the middle. So every thought neat, you were at least, you got a little bit of warmth, you know. This was about the first week of March, and like, you know. And the nights were cold. In May, they can be really cold and damp. And I felt some Robert's arm hitting me shoulder when I dozed up, you know. And there was a blanket. Pushing the blanket over towards me. And so I got the... Well, and I pushed it over to Eddie. So, it was a bit warm, you know. But oh, the next morning, I thought we were fighting the war again. The three Frenchmen were going to have a go at us. So we ganged up and the three were stood. And but, yeah, I thought we'd been pinching that blanket. But it was not someone going to... something warm, you know, because he had a blanket apiece, you know. And we'd have packed our bags and just... When we decided to be on the march again. So we've made our mind up from then on. It's us three. If we got anything, we shared it, and just us three. If we want to live like again, so that's what we're doing.
Was there much evidence of stealing from other people?
Aye, later on, aye. I mean, we didn't class it as stealing going into French houses or. There was no women, people in them, because they were empty. In fact, the farm places, like pails of potato had been left, and actually they were in a hurry to get out the road when the German attacks, you know. And some of the German would be lining the roads up with giving you food, but one girl, because I was English, wouldn't give us a biscuit, so that was just for Frenchmen. So I said then and there, now, right, I'll just take what I can get to keep it going for. 2 or 3 days, you know, once you didn't stop, you just went straight through, you know, picked up whatever you got your hands on, you know, just to make a living.
So were you well guarded?
Oh, the guards were there on both sides of the road, plus the the old motorbike and sidecars with the machine guns on you, with the, you had to watch them. You're doing, you're doing to keep you moving them. Well, they would come into you if you didn't. If you dropped out the column, you would be there. And,
what did they do you then with men who dropped out because basically they were just finished?
Well, at when they tired, I think they just took them away and put them on a transport and looked after them because they must have been they were tired. You just had to get up and help. You know.
Was there a lot of assistance from other people?
Oh, from the lads. Oh, aye. So some lads would faint to get a drink of water off you. Some, we made an effort to get something for ourselves, but some people wouldn't. And some used to faint to get a drink of water. They would make an effort to get it themselves. So at the finish, the lads were saying, let them lie. I mean, the lads were learning how to the good ones. If you were had mates, you're all right. If you're on your own, you. Some preferred that way, but I preferred to be with Robert and Eddie. We didn't do so bad.
So the comradeship must have been pretty close.
Oh, aye, and even from all over England, Britain, and all, there were all regiments, and we're going all right with most of the lads. So, aye, there's no. And it's just bitterness that would be caught the way of war, the lads, you know. And, very few had, well, were reaching the lads in a tad from Belgium and them places, remnants of the BF had been caught, you know. Irish guards from Cambria and them places, the Welsh guards. And I put me terrific battles, you know. And, we're meeting them, getting the news from them. We were picking up the news all at the time. But went down to Channel Port, you know, belong Aberville. I think it was Aberville who went into there. Just put you inside a factory. Went in, no food or nothing, you know, just shoved you in and fend it by yourself. So the first thing you did was look for something where to lie in the warmth. But we were outside in the big yard. It was a rope factory and big piles of hemp. Just like here stacks, you know, of hemp, rolled hemp. So we looked out, our food couldn't get none, so it was getting damp, starting to rain. And so we seen the lads in this with the hemp, while in the heap in the hay stack, burying ourselves in the hemp to keep warm. So we did the same, got to just wrap it on ourselves to keep there. Because you didn't take your clothes off and your boots off, so somebody had to pinch them, you know. And, that's how we kept warm that night. The night times were pretty bad in the open, or sometimes in a barn, they put you in a barn. And you might get a loaf of bread, a mouldy bread, off the German troops, might tie you some. But majority of the time, me and Robert just got a pinch, seed taties, peeled them and boiled them at the end of the day. And, yeah, kept it going.
How did your clothing and your boots last?
I had my own boots on, as a matter of fact, I didn't have my own boots on. I had my own boots. I'd bought them. I'd had them cobbled with hobnail boots in. That's what I had in my boots nowadays. And they were more comfortable than my army boots, so I wore them. When we marched from the village at Fishhawks, because they were in a better condition than my army boots, my official army boots. And, I just wore them, which was good for me. Because with the hobnails, I had a good pair of boots on. The boots were what my father and them used to call South African field boots. We used to buy in the boot shops and get.
And they lasted very well?
Oh, they did with me, aye. Yes.
And what about your uniform?
Oh, that was all dark and blackened with fires lying in them. They were fire. We took them off. The only time we took them off is if you seen a stream and you managed to get a splash of water. On you to splash your face, but there was no water to wash with or nothing. Just up yourself.
So there was no washing yourself?
Oh, there was no facilities like that. Oh, no, it was just line up, get something to eat if they could get it. Or at the end of the day, make a fire for whatever. Well, Robert and me were in Eddie, we made an agreement if we got mixed up in the march during the day. I stopped in the one place when we got in a field or in a barn. I found a place, I stopped in the place, And them two looked for me. Otherwise, one night one were looking all around the camp looking for each other. And from then it worked. And we, whatever was scrounged for that day, we made a meal of it at the end of the day. The three of us. So we were existing anyway.
What about your health and that of the other people?
Oh, well, the lads were going down then with stomach trouble and hungry. That's why losing weight. But as long as we were moving, it was all right. It's when a couple of times I made my rest all day. That was the worst part. Because you knew where to scrounge, nothing to pinch, nothing to drink. Unless you went to the garden, asked them for a drink of water. And that was the worst part. Best if you were moving. At least you were getting something, you know. When I think once you rested, you didn't feel like moving again. You were getting that tired. Now and again, the planes would come over. One of our planes fly around the camp. A couple of quick dives, and when I went away, just wobble our wings as to say, well, we've spotted you, because the lads would all wave in there. And they went away, so they must have made a reconnaissance to find out what was happening. It's happening about the first couple of weeks, you know. That's the way it went on from then. Of course, we're getting the news up to the lads from the Cali lads from Cali.